church, you are now going to heaven because you are baptized into the church. That's very important for you to understand, because there are a lot of people who believe they're going to heaven because they were told by their doctrine of a church that all they needed to do was be sprinkled. And I want to show you biblically, because I think this is very important. We're going to cover that in just a little bit. Biblically, sprinkling does not get you to heaven. A church will not get you to heaven. A religion will not get you to heaven. A preacher will not get you to heaven. Being a good person will not get you to heaven. Being sincere will not get you to heaven. There's only one name under heaven, which while you shall be saved, it is the name of Jesus. So what happens is, this is a main part of their belief system. Confirmation plays another part of their salvation, but confirmation is not required to go to heaven if you're a Catholic. To be and to go to heaven in Catholicism, Lutheranism, and Episcopalianism, all you ultimately need to do is to be baptized as a child, or be baptized if you wanted to convert to the church. Okay? Does anybody have any questions? Nobody has a question. Well, okay, let's just move on. The next main belief system is called Calvinism. Now you have questions. You have questions on Calvinism or Catholicism? On Calvinism. So here we go. Calvinism, the main, and again, I just want to reiterate this. I have people that get mad at me every time I teach this class on this topic. I am not bashing any one belief system. This is what they believe. If you want to believe it, I could care less. I can't get you to heaven. The Word of God gets you to heaven. I give you all the main belief systems so that you can make a choice what you want to believe. I personally think you should choose the Bible. If you choose not to believe the Bible, that's your choice. But I believe it's important for you to recognize. Now, the two main denominations that believe in Calvinism are Baptists and Presbyterians. Calvinism plays a little bit different role. They believe in salvation the same way we do in the aspects of asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But they believe in something called the tulip. Now, there's 5 points to Calvinism. I want to explain what they are. Number one, they believe the total sinfulness of mankind. They believe that all people that do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior do not go to heaven. That means all aborted babies, all miscarried babies, all children that die at birth, all children that die before they can talk, all mentally handicapped individuals. Anybody, even in their innocence, that does not have and has not confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior does not go to heaven. Now, I want to explain something to you, that that is what we call a 5-point Calvinist. Every time that I teach this, I always find folks that have come from a Calvinistic background, and they tell me very clearly, I was never taught that. So I always ask them to do one basic thing, and that is go back to your pastor and just ask him this. Don't get into any details. He'll know what you mean. Are you a 5 or a 4? You'll find locally they're all 5s. But I was never taught that, Pastor. Whether you believe it or not, that is the doctrine that you were taught in this church. So number one, they believe in total depravity, total sinfulness of mankind. Anybody that does not have the ability to confess Christ as their Savior does not go to heaven. That even means the innocent. Number two, it's called unconditional selection. That means that God has a list. You're either on the list or you're off the list. That God, before he ever called the world into existence, created a list of people that are going to go to heaven and that are not going to go to heaven. If you're on the list, you have to be saved. It is called irresistible grace. You do not have a choice to be born again if you're on the list. Yes. This is Calvinism. It's important that you understand what Calvinists believe. We can rebuttal later, but this is the doctrine that they actually believe. Okay? So number one, they believe that if you do not confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not go to heaven. Even if you're innocent, even if you're unborn, even if you're unable to talk, if you are unable to talk, you aren't part of the elect if you died. If you are an individual that is mentally handicapped and you do not accept Christ, then you are not part of the elect. You do not go to heaven. Number two, they believe in unconditional selection. That means, again, that God has a list. Number three, it's called limited salvation, that the blood of Jesus is only available for those that are on the list. And if you're on the list, that is irresistible grace. You do not have a choice. You will be saved. The last is called the perseverance of the saints. And it says this, because you are on the list and you did not have a choice to be saved, when you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can never be lost again. Now, you've heard the Baptists and the Presbyterians use this terminology, once saved, always saved, or unconditional salvation. What that means is the only way you can get to that place is to actually believe that you have no free will. One of the base belief systems of the Calvinistic belief is that because God has a list, you're on it or off it, it's irresistible grace or limited salvation, that you do not really choose God. Because if you're on the list, you don't have a choice. You will be saved. So it eliminates free will. The scary part about eliminating free will is that's why God created mankind on the earth, was for free will. That we would love him because we chose to love him, not because he made us love him. Remember, the angels do not have that choice. They're around the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. They're working for God. They do not have a choice to be born again or not. They have been created to serve God, to worship God. There is no choice in them. Where mankind was created in the garden, and we were given the opportunity to accept or reject God, to love God or hate God, it's our choice, not God's choice. So, Calvinists believe these 5 points. And again, if you're not sure, if you're questioning, you've come from a Baptist background, again, I'm not knocking, this is just what they believe, you can simply ask your preacher 5 or 4, and they'll tell you which one they are. Now, if they're 4-point Calvinists, they do not believe the innocent are damned. So they eliminate the first one. Again, strangely, in this area, the ones in this area are 5s. And it's kind of scary. That's just my perception. I think that we'll get into that in the next one. Questions on Calvinism? Yes. The 5 points are, number one, total sinfulness of man, the T. The U is unconditional selection. That means God has a list. 3, limited salvation, that only those on the list can accept the blood of Christ. 4, irresistible grace. That means if you're on the list, you do not have a choice. You will be saved. And P, or tulip, is perseverance of the believers. That means because you are on the list, because it's irresistible grace, once you accept the Lord, you are unconditionally saved. Once saved, always saved. Doesn't really matter what you do or how you live. You will always go to heaven. Okay? Tulip. Yes. No. Anybody else have a question? Anybody online have a question? We have a monitor. So if you would like to, you can pose your questions right online. It's a little spotty today. Questions concerning tulip. So, mainly this is the Baptist belief system or the Presbyterian belief system. Now, what's very interesting is what I always say to everybody here is if you're going to leave this house, you're going to move on from this house, make sure you don't go to a belief system that you're not even sure what it is. One of the things I have found is that most Baptists do not know they believe this. I've never really found a Baptist. I have found one Baptist. It was down at the Archery Rendezvous, if you remember that guy. He understood what he believed. He was a 5-point Calvinist. But the majority of people that are in church, in the Baptist church and the Presbyterian church, do not know that they believe this. They do not know this is the doctrine being taught to them. And if you ask them, they will tell you that's not true. They just don't know. So I'm not bashing. I'm not telling anybody they're evil. I'm telling you, this is what they believe. This is what they teach. Just most of the people in their church don't know that that's what they're being taught.
I actually, one of the young adults moved out of town just recently, and he found a church that in walking distance of his house, and he asked me to check it out. And on their page, it's a millennial church, you know, big church. I looked for the statement of faith, or we believe, or anything like that. It was nowhere to be found.
Right.
So I emailed in to see and ask, and they said that we don't post our what we believe because we want people to come and experience what's happening here. So I asked them the topics about Tulip and things like that, and he 100% was, it's a 100% Calvinist church, but he would not agree that they were Calvinist in any way, shape, or form. He said, right. You should just come and find out for yourself, and then you'll be able to tell whether you believe it or not.
Right. Well, the hard part about that is what they're teaching you is what you believe. One other thing about Calvinism is Calvinism promotes what's called cessationalism. Cessationalism declares this, that all the supernatural power of God stopped with the first century church. That there are no more tongues, there are no more gifts of the Holy Spirit, no more prophecy, miracles are spotty, it's just if you get the luck of the draw. It's cessationalism believes that the supernatural power of God does not pertain to today. It's very important for you to understand. There's a large movement going around right now, and it is called Reformed Calvinism. I've actually watched some of the churches that were Pentecostal, actually the young preachers get sucked into this and are now drawn away from the power of God. They no longer believe in the supernatural. One local church actually then just recently told an individual this statement. Do not bring any unsaved people to this church. This church is only for saved people. Well, think about it. Though honestly, if you believe in Calvinism, why go to church? If you honestly believe in Calvinism, why would you share your faith with anybody? And if you're a true Calvinist, shoot, man, live any way you want. Because you can't be lost.
This is a question I hear a lot.
This is a question we hear a lot. I need to repeat after you.
A Calvinist would say, if somebody once served God, but what we would call backslid, that they were never truly saved in the first place.
Correct. That is mainly what the Baptists will say, is that if Baptists and Presbyterians, Calvinists, that if you say you once served God, but you walked away from the Lord, you were never truly saved. You were never on the list. So who's on the list? Are you on the list? How do you know you're on the list?
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Like, say you're on the list.
Say you're on the list.
I go to a Baptist church.
Right? I'm on the list. Yes. They actually believe in salvation the same way we do, the blood of Jesus the same way we do, the same process. So are Baptists born again? Absolutely. They love the Lord.
I'll have no choice.
Correct. If you're on the list, it's just you don't have a choice. You will be saved. So Baptists, they all are all born again like we are. Presbyterians, depending on the preacher. Some Presbyterian churches no longer preach the gospel any longer. So what you'll find is that Baptist churches, though, they believe in salvation the same way we do. They believe you got to be born again. They believe if you're not born again, you can't go to heaven. They confess Christ as their Savior. They have a relationship with God. They actually pray and read the Word. They love Jesus. They're growing in God. But they believe that you're either on the list or off. Young lady.
So since they believe that once saved, always saved, do they believe in repentance?
So since they believe in once saved, always saved, do they believe in repentance? They believe you don't have a choice but to repent if you're on the list. You are the terminology they'll use is you are predestined. You do not have the choice to be saved. Yes.
So I apologize if I got it mixed
Correct. Correct.
But then you also said that they believe that if you backslid, then you were never on the list.
Correct.
How could you, once you saved, always be saved, and then backslid?
Correct. It means you actually weren't on the list. You just played it. Yes.
And if you don't repent, then you weren't on the list?
Right. If you don't repent, you weren't on the list. Because you wouldn't have had choice. So this is very interesting because, again, most people that are in the Calvinistic churches don't really know they believe this. Yes. Ask me this question.
There's some scriptures in the Bible.
About predestination? Absolutely. We're going to talk about that in just a second because predestination is very powerful. We're going to get into what this church teaches and believes. It's called Arminianism. Now, Arminianism was generated by a man named John Wesley. Here's the base of your question. The statement was, the Bible does talk about predestination. God does know who's going to be saved, doesn't he? He knows the end from the beginning. Does he know who's going to be saved or not? Absolutely. But we cannot blame God's foreknowledge and say that he made us do it just because he knew it. So if you know, your kid puts their hand on the stove, they're going to get burned. You tell them, don't put your hand on the stove. They do. Did you make them do it?
No.
But you knew if they did, it would hurt. So you did it. You actually made them do it. No. Right, don't let me convince you. But you see, that's the point, is that just because you have foreknowledge doesn't mean that you've made somebody do it. Just because God knows who's going to be saved, he still has given us free will to accept and or reject. He doesn't influence our decision in the aspect of making or not making. We still have free will. He just knows who is going to make the decision. Yes. Backwards.
You know, it's the way that you just worded it.
That's right.
That's something I found commonly a lot when you try to share the word with somebody. They're like, well, what's the point? You know, if you have free will, it conflicts. No, it actually doesn't
conflict. It doesn't. And with God's foreknowledge, I mean, it's not his fault that he knows everything. I mean, you know, if your kid put their hands on the stove, they're going to get burned. Did you make them do it? No. But you know, if they do it, what's going to happen? It's going to get burned. So let's talk about Arminianism. This is what we believe. We believe, like the Baptists, that everybody is born into sin. It's called the Adamic nature. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That every single human being needs to be born again, needs to be washed by the blood of Jesus, needs to accept Christ as their Savior to go to heaven. The difference. We believe that God, as you look through the history of the Bible, God has never damned the innocent. He has never taken somebody who doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the understanding, and held them accountable. He has always saved the innocent. It is the nature of our God to save the innocent. What did Jesus say? Bring the little children to me. He said, if you're going to be saved, you got to be like a little child. Have the faith of a child. So ultimately, the major difference in the first point between Arminianism and Calvinism is that, yes, everybody needs Jesus to wash their sins away. But if you are innocent, you know, my dad worked at a mental institution up in New England for many, many years. I don't remember how many years. It was called the Fernal School. And there was a man at the Fernal School. His name was Duck. I believe he was 81 or 82 years old. He had the mind of a 2-year-old. He walked like a duck. He talked like a duck. He believed he was a duck. God's not going to damn duck. You with me now? God's not going to damn duck. Well, why? Because duck doesn't get it. He thinks he's a duck. It's not his fault he thinks he's a duck. His mental capability is not there. God doesn't take the aborted babies and say, now you're going to hell because of your parents' sin. It's not his nature. God doesn't take miscarried babies. I have a miscarriage. We have a fourth child. Most people don't know this. We have a fourth child named Colby. Colby was miscarried. I was in Ohio. Rhonda was home. Colby had eyebrows, eyelashes, fingernails, everything. She gave birth right at the house. According to Calvinism, he's in hell. According to the nature of God, God doesn't damn the innocent. Colby never had a chance to accept Christ as a Savior. We all know that life begins at conception. So he's a living soul. So does God take this living soul who never had an opportunity to be saved, never had the opportunity to be born, and damn him to hell? See, that's the big difference between Calvinism, five-point Calvinism, and Arminianism. God has never damned the innocent. Never damned the innocent. Number two, Arminianists believe that it's God's will that all should be saved. Not a few, but everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, who's a whosoever in this room? Who's a whosoever out there? Whosoever. We're all whosoevers. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, if you're not on the list, then how could God say all come to repentance? If Calvinism was valid, then God would say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to those who are on the list, they shall be saved. No, whosoever. Who's a whosoever one more time? Very good. Everybody's a whosoever. It's God's will that none should perish. That's found in Peter. None should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many are all? Everybody. Everybody's in all. So it's God's will that all will be saved. Now, will all be saved? No. Why? They choose not to. I remember this one guy, his name was Stubbs. I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, and he was a man who had both legs amputated because of sugar. Well, I didn't name him Stubbs. It was his nickname, Stubbs. So we went in. Stubbs was really in a bad condition. I mean, he was dying. So we went into the hospital to see Stubbs. And I said, hey, Stubbs, man, can I pray with you? He goes, absolutely. So, I mean, I know that he's got the death rattle. Does anybody know what the death rattle is? His lungs are starting to gather fluid so you can hear. It's called the death rattle. You can actually hear when someone's not too far from dying. And so he has the death rattle. And I said, Stubbs, can I pray with you? He goes, absolutely. So I start praying for him in the name of Jesus. And then I got done my prayer. I said, Stubbs, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Hell no. I said, what? I said, you just let me pray for you. He let me pray for him, but he did not want to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He had a choice. The funniest one we've ever had at church. We had somebody give their testimony. They were healed of cancer. I mean, like validly healed of cancer. It was when we were in the school. And so she was a nurse that got healed of cancer. So she said all of a sudden four or five other nurses came into the room. She usually knows what that means. That means that you're really close to death. And so in comes the doctor, four or five nurses. And the doctor says, well, I think you must still have cancer. We can't find it. And she looked at him. She goes, hell no, I don't. Oh, my goodness. The whole congregation's laying on the floor. Just so funny. She said that to the doctor. And then she said that right in front of the church. It was great. I love raw salvation, man. I just love people being people. So here we are. If they actually believe that if somebody dies that is innocent, they don't go to heaven. We don't believe that. Arminians believe it's God's will that everybody be saved, that everybody have opportunity. And what I love so much about God, he doesn't just give us one opportunity. He's the hound of heaven, baby. He's chasing us down. How many of you have ever rejected God at least once in your life? Can you imagine if you only had one shot? But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, God is chasing us. Every other religion of the world, you got to chase God. In Christianity, in the Word of God, in the Bible, God is chasing you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I love that verse. God chose you. He's after you. He's after every single person. And that's where the divine connections come into play. Isn't that cool? All of a sudden, someone puts someone in your life that talked to you about Christ. I know I could preach right now. Talked to you about Jesus. And man, you weren't even thinking about God. And they dropped a seed in your life. And all of a sudden, that seed started to germinate. And all of a sudden, it started to take root. And all of a sudden, man, you find yourself wanting God because the Spirit of God, no man can come to the Father unless he's drawn. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. Oh, I see, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Drawing you to salvation because God loves you. God wants you. God is desperately after you. Now you see, again, if you're a Calvinist, you're not even sure you're on the list. Crap, I hope I am. I want him today, but maybe I'm really not on the list. I don't know how you can be secure with that. No, I'm not good at lottos. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Sorry. You're not on the list. Heads or tails? Girl, you're going to heaven. Heads or tails? What'd you say?
Heads.
Hey, going to heaven, brother. Come on now. It's tails. Baby, you're the only one going to hell in that row. So Armenianists believe that it's God's will for everybody to go. So everybody you know, everyone that's living and breathing that has breath, God wants them to be in relationship with him. Now watch now. Once you die, there is no second chance. Catholics actually teach a place called purgatory. Purgatory is a place that you go when you're good and or bad, and people can go and light some candles. Actually, it costs a lot of money if you're in purgatory because you got to kind of buy the service, and you got to light the candles. That used to be $2 a candle. Does anybody know how much they are right now? No. They're expensive. And so the more candles you write, the more light, the more prayers you pray, you can pray them out of purgatory and into heaven. I want you to recognize that's nowhere in the Bible. That was created in the Dark Ages. In the Dark Ages, they needed a fundraiser. So that's where they created purgatory. Another fundraiser they did was called indulgences. Does everybody know what an indulgence is? Indulgence is you want to go and you want to go on Saturday night and get drunk and screw at least 3 girls. So what you do is on Friday you go to the priest and you confess those sins beforehand, you pay for those sins beforehand, it's called indulgences, and you're forgiven before you actually do them. That's a darn good deal, brother. Confessions. They were created in the Dark Age with the Catholic Church. Confessionals were created mainly not for the poor people, but for the rich people. It was a great fundraiser. A rich king or somebody would come in, a noble would come in, confess their sins, and they would say, oh, by the way, you need to make a really large donation to the church. This is the way it works. So when you study Catholicism, those are different belief systems that were thrown in that are not in the Bible. They're just really good fundraisers. So, the next one is, whosoever will. That's found in John 3:16. We already quoted that one. Now, the interesting part about Armenianism is because we all have free will, we all have the right to accept or reject Jesus. Have you ever met somebody, hey, would you like God? No, just like Stubbs. No way. I don't want God. Well, God won't make him serve him. Yeah, have you ever made somebody love you before? Yeah, I mean, people have. Have you ever loved somebody that didn't love you? Isn't that fun? Remember, this is about relationship. This is not about religion. So if you've ever been married to somebody, they never talked to you. Woo, that's a good relationship, isn't it? Hi, baby, how are you? Whatever. They never talk to you. They never look at you. They never sleep with you. I'm talking, you're married. Never sleep with you. Have nothing to do with you. Is that a relationship? No. So what happens in the belief system of Arminianists is that we all have the free will to accept Jesus, to repent from our sin, and then build a relationship with the Lord. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling is not talking about being afraid, but talking about, listen, this is about a relationship with God. It's not that you can't sin, you choose not to sin. Not because you can't, because we can all sin. There was a man named Mike Warnke. Has anybody ever heard of Mike Warnke? He's old now. Mike Warnke used to be a Christian comedian. But before he was a comedian, he was a Satanist. And when he was serving Satan, he would actually do sacrifices. Now, they didn't do baby sacrifices. They would usually do virgin sacrifices. They'd raise up a little girl from birth and keep her as a virgin. And then they would put her in the middle of the pentagram. And all the priests would have sex with her to break her virginity as a sacrifice to Satan. Also, what they would do is they would cut off fingers and eat the finger. Or like a vampire would draw blood and drink blood as sacrifice. So one day, Mike Warnke is, he kind of made it a funny thing, you know, where he's telling his testimony in a comedic way. And some lady's on the front row and she goes, "Well, at least I wasn't as bad as you." And he looked at her and he goes, "But we were going to the same hell, lady." Remember, the wages of sin is death. And what's so good about a relationship with the Lord is not that we can't sin. We don't want to hurt him. We love him. This is a relationship with God. You know, people who tell me I love the Lord and choose to remain living in a sin, you've got to question whether they actually do love the Lord. Because if you really, listen, if you have a marriage, if you're married, now I've been married 28 years. What's that? Yeah, it's a long time. No, she's not. And she could be, though. That's the scary part. 28 years, but for 4 years. Now, I say 2 years we had a bad relationship. She says we had a bad relationship for four. But, honestly, one thing I've learned over the years is you want to make Mama happy. You know, if you look at Mama, you know, and you say, "Baby, your food tastes like crap." Well, you're going to get killed in your sleep. It's just the way it is. Or, she's gonna kill you. She told me for years she always put a white powder in my food. You know, after a year, I really started getting concerned. I didn't get any gray slate looks, so I was okay. I think I'm okay. But, you know, if you don't want to, I wouldn't walk up to my wife and punch her in the face. And the reason is not just because I'm afraid to die and go to jail, but because I love my wife. Now, I don't always like my wife, and she doesn't always like me, but we love each other, and because you love somebody, you don't hurt them. It's not that you can't hurt them. It's not that every man, every husband in the room isn't strong enough to hurt your wife or wife to hurt your husband. I don't know if you realize, but there's a big surge of women beating their men now. No, I mean talking physical abuse. It used to always be the man to the woman, but now there's a massive surge of women to men. Ask me. I got bruises. No, I'm just kidding. She did stab me once, but hey, we won't get into that. She did stab me once. One time, for a lot of years, she'd be in the kitchen, and I'd walk in the kitchen, I'd slap her hiney. Push. You know, ladies, when your men stop slapping your hiney, you got an issue. And so I was slapping my wife's hiney. And so all of a sudden, she gets really mad. And one day, as I slapped her hiney, whack, there was a poker. You know the ones you use to flip hot dogs on the barbecue? The ones with the big points? She turned around, she went, and it went right into my leg. I'm talking like blood is spurting all over the place. And I feel my draining because I'm leaving quartz on the floor. No, not really. You know, she did break the skin, and there was some blood. So she made it a tradition to where now every time that I would slap her hiney, she'd grab one of those things and try to stab me. And so one day I just fixed it all, and I found all five of them, and I bent the tips over. So I walked into the kitchen with great confidence, shwack. She grabbed that poker and went, "Oh." And so she bought another poker, and I bent that one over too. I win. I keep slapping her hiney. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, so One more time. Arminianists. I don't want to get off topic. Why do you guys get me off topic like that? Arminianists. They believe that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but that God will never damn the innocent. But an individual that chooses not to be saved, they cannot go to heaven. People always ask me, well, what about the Aborigines in the back mountains of this? The Bible says, according to Romans chapter 1, that God has written his law on all hearts. So there was a tribe in Africa, and a missionary ended up getting to that tribe. It was way, way back in the bush. Got there, and they were worshiping an unknown God. They didn't know his name. But when the story came out of salvation, when the story came out of life, it was all the story of Jesus and the washing of the blood of Jesus. They just didn't have his name. Really cool. We also see that in the book of Acts, don't we? We see that also in the book of Acts. So here we have, Arminians believe that God wants everybody saved. Everybody is in line. Everybody's on the list. It's a good thing. Everybody's on the list. But that we all have free will choice to accept him or reject him. No one can make you serve God. No one can make you be in a relationship with the Lord. You have that free will choice. Then it goes on to say that because it's a relationship, you also have the free will choice to walk away from God if you want to. It's called backsliding. We see this in the book of Revelations chapter 2 with the church of Ephesus. He says, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Not you have lost your first love. You have left your first love. That Christ demands that we are in relationship with him. This is not a one-time little prayerette and now you're safe for the rest of your life. The security you have in Christ, in your relationship with the Lord, is that you're in relationship with him. You're talking with him. You're in the word. You're growing in relationship. You're in church. You're serving. It's all about relationship with God. Now, in every house, every child has a job. Is that not true? The children that don't are spoiled. Now, we know spoiled children, they grow up. They have spoiled adults. And you have problems. And that's why sometimes it's very hard to hire people these days, because we have a generation that wasn't taught responsibility. And so in responsibility, in the house of God, you're all supposed to be workers. Amen. I'm going to say low on this spot for just a moment. Everybody's supposed to be doing something. My kids all made, well, they didn't really make their bed. My wife was so angry with my mother for years because my mother made my bed till the day I graduated high school. I was spoiled. No, she didn't make yours. She made mine, though. But that everybody has the ability to walk away from God. But the great part about that is that God is married to the backslider. God loves to draw you home. And the story about that that's most pertinent is the story of the young man, the prodigal son. The prodigal son is a man that went up to his daddy and said, hey, listen now, I want my inheritance right now. I want all my money right now because I'm sick and tired of being under your thumb. So he takes all of his money and he goes to a distant city, the Bible says, and he parties. I'm talking like parties hard. Prostitutes, alcohol. I mean, and the Bible says he spends all of his inheritance and now he has no more money. Now remember, he's in a foreign land and he's a Jew. So all of a sudden, he's hungry. So what does he do? He finds the only job that he can find, and that is working on a pig farm. Now you need to understand what that means to the Jewish community. Pigs are the lowest of all animals. So here he is working on the pig farm, and he's seeing what the pigs eat and says, oh my goodness, I want what they want. I mean, I'm so hungry. I have nothing. I want even what I'm hungry for what they're eating. So then the Bible says he came to himself. I love that verse. He came to himself and realized that even the servants in my father's house are treated better than I'm getting right now. I'm going home. The Bible says he started on his way home and his dad looked out and saw him afar off. I love this about our God now. That as God sees us afar off, he's not saying, well, I'll wait for him to get here and then he can tell me he's sorry. No, The Bible says that the father saw him afar off and ran to him. I'm talking ran to him. He grabbed his son, embraced his son. You see, the Bible says that God will leave the 99 to go after the one. I love that. And so all of a sudden, he grabs his boy and he loves his boy. He takes his ring off, which declares family inheritance. And he puts a robe on his back and then calls a party. My boy was lost, but now he's found. That's talking about a person that was once part of the family and walked away and now has been restored. And that's a backslider. See, the great part is that God doesn't want anybody to perish. And he loves us so much, he never gives up. His love is like never ending. He has this kind of love that humans don't have where he doesn't give up on us. And thank God. Can I hear an amen? God never gives up on us. Because how many should he have given up on in the room? He should have given up on all of us. Because by the way, any true Jews in the room? No, I didn't think so. That means you're all Gentiles. We should never have had an opportunity in the first place. How shall we neglect so great a salvation when we shouldn't even have had a shot at it? That's the love of God. And that is what Arminianists believe. So they're very different from Calvinists. So what really bothers me, I'm just going to, you don't mind me telling you what bothers me, great, because it doesn't matter, I'm going to say it anyways. What really bothers me is a person that gets saved in this house, sees the supernatural power of God, and we have the anointing in this church. I love the presence of the Lord in this church. Listen, if you're in the back, you need to move to the front so you can get a hold of some fresh anointing. Man, it really is stronger in the front of the room. And then what happens is we see miracles. I mean, we see miracles all the time. There was a miracle this last week. 2 weeks ago, we had a guest. And that's right, they're here. You were healed. What was wrong with you? The rib was healed and you were healed? Her ankle was healed. Remember I had words of knowledge? That's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Calvinists don't believe that they're still valid for today. Well, I know they're valid because I felt that pain. We had a man healed. His back was healed this last Sunday. I mean, God is healing people. My wife was healed of cancer. We've got doctor proof, man. I got pictures and I've got doctor statements. You know, we've got miracles in this church that happen all the time. We had a lady who was, she was carrying her child, and she had a cyst larger than the baby. Nicole Caldwell. We laid hands on her. God healed her. She went back, and the doctor found no more cyst, just a perfectly healthy baby. Kayla Keegan. Which son? Eli was born with the cord around his neck twice. And a double knot. Should never have survived. If he did, he should have been born with brain damage. Well, if you ever see the kid, he's only got brain damage. Miracles are normal in this place because we believe that the supernatural did not die. It's always available, especially in these last days. We need more of the supernatural power of God than we've ever needed before. We need to see more miracles than we've ever seen before. We need to see the power of God like we've never seen before. And people need Jesus like they've never needed before. I've watched people walk in this building that no one would ever have thought would ever have been born again. Walked in that back door. We had the number one ecstasy dealer of Elmira come in the back door of this church. Somebody ran up to me and goes, "You wouldn't believe who's here." I says, "Who is it?" And they said, "So-so." I said, "I don't know who he is. I hope he gets saved." That day, he gave his heart to the Lord, but he had got busted. He was supposed to serve 99 years. And he got 1 year shot camp. We've had major cocaine dealers in this church that have given their heart to the Lord. We have had all different types of sin that walk in these rooms. This young man was in, what was it? What's it called? Paganism. He was a pagan. He used to marry people in paganism. We have another, and Craig Caldwell was another. He was another into paganism. So we have people that are in this church that you would never have thought would have been born again. But it's God's will that everybody be saved. We've had the most prim and proper people walk in that, man, their shorts are so tight, man, they squeak when they walk. You know, I'm talking like they live right, but they never knew Jesus. It doesn't matter if you live right, but you don't know Jesus. The blood of Jesus washes your sins away, not your rightness. For our righteousness is as filthy rags. The blood of Jesus is what makes us pure and makes us new. So I want to go over one more time what the three major belief systems are so that you understand them. Number one is Catholicism. They believe that when you, Catholicism, Episcopalianism, and Lutheranism, they believe that when you are baptized as a child, you're now going to heaven because you're baptized into the church. Calvinism and Presbyterian believe in, is Baptist. Hold on. Baptist, I have to, Baptists and Presbyterians are Calvinists. They believe in the tulip, the 5 points that we talked about. And usually what you'll call like a mainline denominational people. We're not a denomination in this church. We're Pentecostal, charismatic. But like the Missionary Alliance Church, the Nazarene Church, we can go through all the different Missionary Alliance churches. They all believe in salvation the same way we do. Some of those churches just what we call a don't talk, don't tell church. Methodists used to believe in salvation the way we do. It depends on the preacher now. Because even Methodism now is allowing homosexuals to be pastors. Big shifts. Big shifts. Listen, the Bible is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Amen? You know, Jesus is that way. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, the Word is our staple. The Word is our solidity. Period. Bam. That's it. It doesn't matter what religion says. It doesn't matter what a preacher says. It matters what the Bible says. In fact, you're a fool if you're not checking up on me. And I expect you to be in my office. That's right. Chris comes to my office. If you, I expect you to come to in my office, and Chris will validate. I don't push anybody away. If you have a question, you come to my office. We'll work through it. I'll prove to you in the scripture what I'm talking about. And if I can't, and if I'm wrong, I'll stand right up behind this pulpit and I'll apologize to the entire congregation. I have no problem doing that at all. Because my job is not to give you religion. My job is to give you the Word of God. And that's my job. And I take it extremely serious. So can you lose your salvation? No. You can't lose salvation. Can you walk away from salvation? Yes, because it's about relationship, not about religion. Now, the last one I want to talk about real quickly is the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea was an actual city with a church in it, and Jesus spoke to them in the book of Revelations, chapter 3, 14 through 22. And he said this. He said, listen, I know your works, but I have something against you. And this is what he said to them. He said, you are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. So I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. The word there is vomit in the scripture, but when you study out that word vomit in the Greek, it literally means to projectile vomit. So God does not want you cold, which means if you're born again, this is a relationship. Don't ignore him. It's not about your little prayerette to go to heaven. This is not a fire safety drill. You know what I mean? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He expects you to be hot, which means that you're in a relationship. You're growing in God. Now, if you're not closer to Jesus this year than you were last year, you're backsliding. You're in danger. Danger, Will Robertson, danger. That's all for the only old people. That's for the old people. Not y'all. No, that's old, brother. Do you guys even know what that is?
No.
How many of you don't know what Danger Will Robertson danger did? All the millennials. God bless America. Kevin, you're lying if you raise your hand. You have to look that up. Watch a YouTube tonight. Watch a YouTube. And y'all need to look up that one and the F Troop. That's all I want you to know. F Troop. Do you remember F Troop? I love that show. Just shows how old we are. How about Wait Till Your Father Gets Home? Does anybody remember that one? No? Okay. Let's move on. So does anybody have any questions concerning salvation and what the three main belief systems are in the area that we live? Now, for those who do not know, you have different belief systems that do believe in salvation, which is Calvinism and Arminianism, but you also have cults in the area, and they don't believe anything to deal with salvation. Jehovah's Witness is a cult. They say they believe in Christ as their Savior, but they do not believe in Christ as a Savior. It's more works, a work-based principle. Mormons, that is also a cult. Moonies, I actually became indoctrinated with the Moonies. No, not the restaurant Moonies. Okay. The Moonies were originated by Reverend Sungyung Moon. And Reverend Sungyung Moon believed his job was because he was the incarnate Jesus Christ, was to plant the true seed of Jesus into all the women of the cult. And so he was having sex with lots and lots of peoples. And he would do what he was mainly known for was mass weddings. He would have weddings of thousands of couples at a time. Just know that he planted the true seed into all the women because he was Jesus incarnate. He ended up going to jail for tax evasion. So the main cults in our area are Mormons and Jehovah's Witness. Those are the main ones. Okay. Does anybody have questions concerning Catholicism, Calvinism, or Arminianism? Really? Like, y'all amaze me. Did I answer it? Was it clear? Okay. So, like, when your Baptist friend says, let's come to my church because our church is the same. You know they're not the same. If you're going to leave an Arminianist church, don't go to a Calvinist church. You understand? Listen, as your pastor, I don't care if you, well, I do care. But if you leave this church, at least go up and not down. We had a bunch of people leave a few years ago. They all went to a church that is Arminianist, but they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in the part. We call them don't talk, don't tell churches, where they don't want you to raise your hand. They don't want you to speak in other tongues. They won't preach about it. They won't talk about it. They won't talk about miracles. They won't talk about signs and wonders. All that's just keep hidden because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'm sorry. The gospel was sent here to offend you. You know, the gospel is offensive to those who don't believe the Bible. The Bible says, Jesus said, I came to bring a sword to divide families even, a father against a daughter against a mother. Why is that? Well, because the gospel is a divider. And it's the whole gospel, not part of the gospel. We are a whole gospel church. I don't want to give you just a slice out of the middle. I want to give you the whole pie because there's something good in all parts. Amen? So one of the things you'll find about this church that is different is we believe 100% in the covenant of God. We believe 100%. We will never retract from the gifts of the Spirit. I am a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled man of God that has no problem laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I have no problem casting out devils. Just had a man just this last week call me all the way from Germany. He said, I have a demon in me and I need to be delivered. Can I fly all the way to America to meet with you and have this demon cast out of me? I said, absolutely, if you want to. It's not a problem. We believe in casting out devils. We believe that demons are real, and they are real, whether you like it or not. And there, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual warfare. This is real. And so you need to make sure that you're part of a church that believes in the whole thing, not the part of the thing. Amen? Amen? How do you know you're in a healthy church? We talked about this last week. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being delivered. People are being taught and grown. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And then the Lord added to the church daily. Never sacrifice your relationship with God ever for anything. And if you're going to move, make sure there's a church there before you move. Not try to find one once you get there. Because if you get there and there isn't a church, it's not worth the $10,000 raise. Amen. Oh, live stream. We do. Shh, don't say that out loud. We do. We have a lot of people that have moved and didn't listen to me. And they get to other areas and this is their church. Live stream is their church. Which, let me tell you, that really changes everything. Because where are you going to bring somebody? You lead to the Lord. When you get sick, how can we lay hands on you? You're going to have to get a jet plane. Amen? Questions? No questions. I want to remind you, you should never come to the King's house without a gift. Get that in your spirit. Always keep it in your spirit. We're going to receive an offering. It's up here. You bring it as you will. No one's forcing you. If you've got no money, that means you've eaten your seed. If you have no seed at all. Now listen, how much is enough money to give? Well, there was an old woman. The Bible says that Jesus was watching. One day he's watching the offering pail. Bring that offering pail over here, Tara. One day there was a man. Jesus was there and an offering was being taken. Now, a woman came up and she dropped 2 pence in, 2 pennies. How did Jesus know she put in 2 pennies? Then there was a man who came and brought a wad of bills. And Jesus made a point. He said, you know what? That old woman gave more than that man. What do you mean? She only put in 2 pennies, but he put in a whole wad of money. But she gave out of her need. He gave out of his excess. So people will tell me, well, you know, I can't believe you guys take so many offerings at the church. Blame Jesus. I'm into that. Just don't blame me. Because Jesus took offerings and he looked at them. Now in this house, my wife and I don't know who gives anything except for we know if the pastors are tithers and we know if the board members are tithers. Because if they're not tithers, they're not getting any benefits. You're gone. I've actually almost fired a staff member because he wasn't tithing. I said, why aren't you tithing? I says, you're getting the benefit of the people that are giving, but you don't want to tithe yourself? Well, you don't believe in this work anyways. I said, you're either going to start tithing tomorrow, brother, or you're on your way. So, if you got nothing, pull the lint out of your belly button and say, Jesus, next week I won't eat all my seed. I'll always have something when I come to the King's house. Amen? If you haven't tithed, make sure you tithe. It's a great night to tithe. I think we were on Sunday because of the ice. That's the only time people don't come to this church is when it's icy. We had people that actually tried to stop at the top of the driveway and kept going. A bunch of folks kept going. The roads were so slippery. So if you weren't here on Sunday and you haven't tithed yet, this is a great night you can tithe that goes right into the offering. How we do that is the money is put into a bag. It's signed. It's put up into the safe. And it's counted once a week by 3 people that are unrelated. We completely comply to all IRS laws, which are extremely stringent. And we make sure that we're in the flow. Okay? I want to give you a great testimony. Ithaca is very excited that we're up there. This coming Sunday will be our very first week as a total His Tabernacle Family Church in Ithaca. And Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade have accepted, and they are the campus pastors of the Ithaca location. Amen. So if we're going to be doing some work stuff up there as well as outreach up there. If you want to help us up there, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the people that are there are great. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we release blessing, Lord, over your people, Lord, that have heard your word. God, we thank you for understanding. Lord, so many times we just don't understand. So, Lord, I thank you that your word is clear on how you want things understood. Now we ask, God, that each one of us will not just be in relationship with you, but keep it hot. Lord, fuel us in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and with fire in Jesus' name. Lord, let us be excited about being in your presence. And Lord, even though at times we seem to wane, I thank you that you, God, reach and snatch us and grab us, spank us, love us, do whatever you got to do to keep us running, reeling, so we see you face to face in heaven for the glory of God. Lord, we bless all those watching by live stream also in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are watching by live stream, make sure you give as well online. You can give by text to give, or you can go and hit the give button. We love you. Have a great night.